Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, June 26th, 2026, and we're reading We Agnostics, page 47, the fourth paragraph, starting with, besides the seemingly inability to accept much on faith, and we're going to read that paragraph, share on it, and it ends up with, we hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And our readers, for the 12 steps, we have Olivia K., 12 Traditions, Tenzin P. First reader is Mar Jo, page 164 is Tina S., backup reader is Mar Z., newcomer greeter is Colleen M., and second hour host is Robin L. And our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, June 25th, 2026, share ID for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,580. That's 23580. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23581. All right, the OA preamble. Wait, hold on. 23581. All right, I got it. Ugh. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for our members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public organization, public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, carrying a message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are steps we took, which are suggested a program of recovery. So I'll now ask Olivia K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. This is Olivia K. from Illinois, reading the 12 steps. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
All right, Olivia, thank you. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 steps, 12 traditions.
12 traditions. Yes, good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AAOA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Olivia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery. Describing the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting requests that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back on Weeding Gnostics. We're on page 47, the fourth paragraph, starting with besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith. And we're going to read and share on that paragraph and end with, we hope no one else will be prejudiced as long as some of us were. Marjo is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you to all. Happy Friday. And my name is Marjo. I'm from Walpole, Massachusetts, recovered, not quite cured. Besides the seemingly inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitivity, and unreasoning prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was the great dissuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And at the end of that, I had handwritten in my book, which is totally falling apart, beat up. And certainly I was beat up by the disease of compulsive overeating, compulsive behaviors, the disease of alcoholism, although alcohol was not my first choice. Food was my first choice. And I loved my food, but my food it conquered me. I think that would be a good way to say it, so that I would shut the doors and want no one to come in so I could eat what I wanted. And I could fall asleep because, of course, eating that much sugar made me just want to sleep. And then I would wake up and I would do more compulsive behavior, like smoke a couple of cigarettes and then try to find something to eat because I didn't like the taste in my mouth, and this terrible, terrible circle. I didn't realize I was agnostic. I think probably after listening to people at Visions for this many years and hearing different descriptions, and to think that I thought there wasn't a God for me to help me with my food. And the tediousness was part of my life, too, going to all these different programs, weighing and paying, as we said, trying so many different methods. What was the diet of the month? All of that. And to not realize that I could have help with this, that it didn't have to be quite as tedious as I had made it, and that I would feel so much better had I just relaxed a little and leaned on a higher power. But I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to lean on anybody because I had that handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. Like, it just was, especially the obstinance. I was going to do it my way. I was in charge of this. I could do it. And guess what? I fell flat on my face. I could not. So when we hear give it up, surrender, for me, it's God is just a name. It's the whole idea that something is bigger and more powerful than me that can keep me out of the food, that can let me follow a reasonable food plan, look well, feel well, keep moving, and doing the things that I want to do a day at a time. And I've lived 80 years, and I have spent a good 40-something of them in this program. And I thought it was so old when I came in here. I was in, like, my middle 30s and just disastrous. It was just a disaster. My behaviors were repulsive, and I couldn't even stand myself. So I feel saved by OA and for eternally and forever grateful that we have a program and a way of life that is entirely different through our 12 steps. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, March. Appreciate it. So now the line's going to be open for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Now others have to have a chance to share. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling in from. And I'll give you ample reminders where we're at and during the sharing. All right, who's up?
Fantasy.
Nicole.
Okay, hold on. I got Shana C. Nicole. I think that was Nicole S., I think. Who else?
Lisa
K.
Amy G.
All right, I know I got Amy G. There's a Lisa before
Melissa
Amy. Melissa?
Yes, Lisa C. Thank you.
Heather K.
Somebody K.
Heather K.
Heather, and then someone after that.
Leah.
Peggy W.
Or F.
Yeah,
can you
F.
hear me? Peggy W.
All right, gotcha. Okay. All right, who else? All right, we'll go with the Shana C. I think Nicole S. That was Lisa C. Amy G. Melissa K. And Leah F. And Peggy W. All right, Shana, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you so much for your service and thanks for reading, Mo. This is Shana C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And I couldn't be more grateful this morning to be living this way of life and to be free from this horrible obsession. And I just think back of how prejudiced I was, and thankfully this is an ongoing process of uncovering, discovering, discarding old ideas, because I'm in constant need of a new experience, because I'm not the same person today as I was even last week. And, you know, for me, being the addict that I am, I need, the new wears off of stuff really quickly, and thankfully, because of these steps, because of the gift of desperation that's given, you know, when we're, you know, beaten into that state of resilience, faced with alcoholic destruction, I have but one choice, is to go on to the bitter end, trying to blot out the consciousness of the suffering. And intolerable situation as best I can or accept spiritual help. Those are my two choices, like on a daily. And so, of course, I'm not someone who naturally wants to seek to be a good person or what. I mean, I don't want to be a bad person, but I just want to stop suffering. And that's what it was when I got here. I wasn't looking to, like, talk about bristling with antagonism when it came to reference to spiritual things. I was just like, y'all are weird. everything is just weird. I just want a clear head. I remember thinking, I just want a clear head, and I just want to live a sane life. I'm done eating. I don't want to eat like this. I don't want to hurt anybody anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't think God, and I don't have to consider anyone else's conception of God. My own conception, however limited, is as much as I need to make a beginning. And am I willing to believe that there is a power out there that can help me? And am I willing to live by spiritual principles? Yes. Okay. Yes. That's where I could start. And from there, a wonderful spiritual structure can be built. And I'm so grateful that these steps enable me to have that clarity of thought and conscious contact with the God of my understanding that literally does for me what I can't do for myself, who is not weird, who is very real and very loving. And I mean, he's the kind of God that I can pray to when I'm willing to make amends to somebody I hadn't seen in a decade. And she comes to my mind and I pray for her. And then the very same day I run into her in a department store. I mean, that's my experience. That's not me making up a story. I need something bigger than a butterfly and a doorknob. And I'm so grateful. And I need a power greater than myself that can literally remove this obsession, be with me, show me how to live, and guide and direct me. And I have written spiritual principles in this book that I can follow and connect with that power that literally makes everything okay in that moment, no matter what my present circumstances. And the cool thing is I get to give it away. And everything that I've gone through, beliefs, unbeliefs, thank you, past experiences, good, bad, and ugly, can all be used because this power is very good. And this program works. That's it. Thanks, Russ.
All right, Shannon C. from Tennessee. Thanks a lot. Next up is Nicole, and followed by Lisa.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nicole C. Thank you all for your service. Compulsive overeater, emotional eater. I was looking up this word, abstinent, that's used in our big book, and it says abstinent means stubbornly refusing to change your opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade you to do otherwise. Talk about being abstinent and this overeating. Compulsive eating, beating me into reasonableness. You know, I'm realizing that I've been obstinate in so many areas and not even knowing it, because being obstinate has always been a survival trait for me. The things that I've gone through in my life, it was a survival. I had to stubbornly refuse to change my opinion that I was going to make it, that I was going to survive. And then once you overcome that issue, those circumstances, the things I went through as a younger person, it's hard to stop that. It's hard to turn it off, you know, and then it starts moving over into other areas of my life. And so instead of thriving, now I'm surviving, you know, still surviving. I'm still overeating. I'm still being obstinate. Why? Because I've used that as a protection for myself. And so now I'm at the point where I'm trying to, you know, get off of this prejudice that this alcoholic compulsion of overeating is causing me. I'm even trying to stop being obstinate in other things that God is putting with this program for me to get past this obsession. You know, I'm like, okay, in Overeaters Anonymous, we have to do it this way, and this way. I can even be obstinate in that area, and it's still not helping me because I need help in other areas. You know, I need to go to my dietitian. I need to do what my doctor is telling me to do. I need to follow that plan. And realizing, okay, there is not one set plan in OA other than working these 12 steps. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful I was able to talk today, because that's another issue where I get stubborn, refusing to share, thinking I don't really have anything to say. So thank you for listening to me today. Thank you for being here. I pass.
Hey, Nicole, where are you calling in from before we get to Lisa?
Thank you. It's Nicole C. I'm calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Can I leave my phone number?
We don't do that right at this part of the meeting.
Oh, okay.
But
okay,
No worries. There's a newcomer part right after the meeting, and you could leave a number, and you will get some calls.
Thank you so much.
You got it, Nicole. Excuse me. Next up is Lisa C., followed by Amy G.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service. Thanks for the wonderful shares and the lead share. I think what was really standing out to me is this sort of thinking had to be abandoned, which is kind of also what the previous share touched on, right? These survival traits, as she called them. Wow, that was really profound to me. and so it's, you know, this sort of thinking, I kind of was ruminating on that. It's the thinking that I'm the center of the universe, that I make the weather, that I can fix, manage, and control anything I want. And to be honest, the most important aspect of, like, step two that I can sort of see at this moment, you know, it changes. More will be revealed. But is that if it's effective, it displaces me as the center of things. So I come to believe that I'm not powerful on my own, and that there is power. It's just not me. And this really isn't so hard to do if I'm very literal about it. And that's what I think, you know, this, where it says unreasoning prejudice, right? Like, so I think that a lot of times, you know, I certainly thought that I was very reasonable, sensible, logical. I was ruled by thinking and sound proof and evidence and facts. This is what I really thought of myself. But, so I needed literal things to guide me towards, you know, whatever I was going to believe in. But I was not born of myself. I didn't arrange the circumstances of my arrival here on Earth. None of us did. None of us were born in a petri dish because we decided to be born. I was literally created through the union of two people. The details don't matter. Whether I love my parents, hate my parents, family of origin issues, just set it aside. I was literally just stated in the body of another person. There was a time when I was in constant communion with another organism that I had no power over. Then I get out here on my own and I start having these illusions of grandeur, delusions of grandeur. I have all these ideas of individuality, but it's an illusion, because the deep desire of my heart is still to be reunited with power, to find fellowship and to be a giver. So again, there's this literal way that I became a mother myself of physical children, but that's only the seen part. That's the visible part. The deep craving of my soul is the unseen realm. It's to be useful in how I love, connect, extend myself to others, how I give friendship, compassion, kindness, and how I can recognize the power of that whole realm outside myself and connect to that in great measure. And that's how the great persuader of the food leads me out of myself into a full life. I can't skip this step. I have to find a way to see how I am just a piece, and that piece wants to be connected back to the great puzzle. So, you know, I think that that for me helped me to break down some of that prejudice against the unseen. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lisa. Next up is Amy G, followed by Melissa C.
Hi, Russ. Amy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you, everyone, for your service and a wonderful meeting. Boy, I always think that this chapter, we agnostics, how do they know me so well? You know, how do they just know my how I was agnostic in my beliefs and in my behaviors and in my thinking. And I, too, am going to talk about the sentence of, you know, my thinking had to be abandoned. You know, abandoned is a pretty strong word. In the Father program, it says, you know, we come for our drinking and we stay for our thinking. And when I look at this word abandon, you know, the big book, I did a quick search and they had in the first 164 pages, the word abandoned or abandon is listed like six times. And most of the references are spiritual in manner. For example, page 59, we ask his protection and care with complete abandon in how it works. Again, in 63, we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. Page 164, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. I mean, I feel like, are we trying to tell me something here? Which how important it is for me to reject, abandon, desert, let go of my old thinking? Because if not, I cannot connect to the power greater than myself that I need to recover. So it's really important that I address the prejudices, the feelings, the thoughts, the prior experiences. I remember my sponsor saying to me, if your way is working so well, why are you here? And whatever it is that I thought, it wasn't working. And I had to find a new way. The mental obsession is part of my thinking. My thinking drives my feelings. My feelings drive my obsession. It's a terrible, vicious cycle that has me stuck in the torturous hell of compulsive overeating. Unless abandoned completely, entirely. And I would say, well, I don't know, I don't believe, I don't care. And she said, well, you know what? In Overeaters Anonymous, we act ourselves into a new way of thinking and believing. We don't think our way there. You know, we're going to take action. And as you work through the process of the 12 steps, your higher power will evolve. As long as it's not you and it's greater than you, we can start as simply as that. It really isn't that complicated. I think too much. We think too much. And I get myself in an emotional pretzel. And she would say, no, we're just going to do the next right action. We're going to do the next step. We're going to trust in whom the problem has been solved. And eventually your higher power will evolve. And that's exactly what happened. So I had to learn how to abandon to the best of my ability and start to listen to what others had to say in whom the problem had been solved and in what these paragraphs and this chapter says. And it saved my life. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, Amy. Next up is Melissa C. But before she jumps on there, let me let you know where we're at. We're in We Agnostics, page 47, fourth paragraph, starting with, besides the seeming inability to accept much on faith, and we're sharing down till we hope no one else will be as prejudiced for as long as we were. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I know exactly what I was like. I think about the way that I came in and out of the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And, you know, my early experiences in LA, I really was just so focused on the food and the diet and the weight, you know, the weight. And, you know, this idea about beaten into a state of reasonableness, for me, you know, I think about what that beat down looked like for me. And, you know, it was torture. You know, it was hell. And every time I would get back, you know, and pick up, because I kept trying, right? I would try and try and try. And I would try to do it on my own human power. You know, I was like bristling with antagonism, just like it talked about. I was like, I had all this backstory why this God thing just was ridiculous. You know, in my mind, I was like, here I am. I can't put the food down for any length of time, but this is ridiculous. You know, never mind that I'm going to, you know, pick up and eat something. I never questioned the ridiculousness of that or how that just didn't make sense. But I would sit in judgment of that this didn't make sense. And I remember when I think about my Bruce Lee antagonism, it was, I didn't like the way some people spoke about God. You know, like I was so judgmental of the way that other people spoke about their higher power. I hated the word higher power. I remember I didn't like the word God, and I didn't like the word higher power. And when people said HP, it made my skin crawl. I felt like it was a cult, right? But I had a beat down from the food, and it beat me to a state of reasonableness. And I remember reaching a point where, you know, sometimes I hope that nobody gets there. You know, I hope other people don't get there. And yet there is a part of me, because I know that that's when the healing first begins, that I kind of hope people do get there. And I hope they get there fast and hard and quick, you know, because I remembered reaching that point where I was eating against my own will, you know, on a morning just like this morning, you know, driving into work. I was shoving, I often think about this, shoving food down my throat as fast as I could, choking on it with my mouth bleeding. That's a beatdown. And it didn't make sense. You know, what made no sense to me, what I didn't seem to bristle with antagonism, was that I would load my car up with that food morning after morning after morning. And repeat, you know, wash, rinse, repeat over and over again. And then I reached a point, you know, and I often pray, like, please, people, get there, because that made my mind wide open. I was willing to say, you know, I don't really care. Does it matter to me what other people call their higher power? Thanks. I know that there is a power that loves me, that took me, picked me up, and put me in a brand new story. And I'm incredibly grateful. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Heather K., followed by Leah F.
Hi, this is Heather K. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater. And it's funny, I still feel like a newcomer to Vision, although I realized it was 2 months ago that I picked up the phone and called a Vision person who had spoken at an outside meeting, and I've been listening ever since, and it's rare that I can be live, so I'm grateful to be here. I just finished going through this agnostics chapter with my sponsor, and as a person who's had a, you know, rich faith history, I would never have said I was agnostic. But I was certainly antagonistic. And this whole idea that I've heard on the lines over the last few weeks of pockets of agnosticism has so resonated. I believed there was a God. I thought that God created me and liked me, but from afar, and was pretty ineffective. And I find that that God's effectiveness is directly proportionate to me being less obstinate, less prejudiced, less sensitive, and certainly less unreasoning. And I'm just kind of amazed at how imperfectly recovered I have increasingly felt since being introduced to this iteration of OA and the program, and certainly the big book is the center of it all. And I'm so incredibly grateful. And something I heard on a share today that I wrote down that so resonates is that step two displaces me as the center of things. And I'm just really grateful for hearing that today, and I will think on it. So thanks for letting me share. I'm Heather Kay from Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Heather. Next up is Leah F., followed by Peggy W.
Hi, this is Leah, R.F., R as in red, F as in falcon, and I'm calling from Lodi, California. And yeah, when I came into these rooms, I was fortunate to come in with a gift of desperation. The food had finally beat me into a state of reasonableness. I was ready to do whatever I needed to do to get out of the hell that I was living. And I was also fortunate to be a very spiritual person.
But I had nothing to fill that spiritual void, because for me, I thought that God meant that I needed to subscribe to a certain religion. And since I couldn't do that, I just completely abandoned exploring and developing a relationship with God altogether. I had tried to do prayer before, but I had treated God more as a cosmic Santa Claus and really kind of didn't know how to pray, didn't realize that I needed to just turn my will over and just be in alignment with whatever, you know, my higher power, God's plan is. And so in coming into OA, I was finally given that really, I guess, that permission that I didn't realize that I was always looking for, to explore that idea deeper and further, to really lift the rug on that idea of what is my higher power to me, and what is this God of my understanding that I can turn my life and my will over to. And for me, that looks very different, or somewhat different than, you know, what a lot of religion puts out there, which, you know, that's okay now. For me, before, I didn't feel like that was okay. And OA said, no, that is okay. And it actually insisted that in order for me to be free of the food obsession, that I needed to go ahead and develop that concept. And so I'm so, so grateful for that. I have a really beautiful relationship with my higher power. I start my every morning with prayer and meditation and making that connection. And I know that if I don't, I'm not going to be abstinent that day. There's just no way that I can do things on my own will. I cannot be Leah powered. I have to be higher powered, because that's what's going to help me. And through turning my life and my will over to my higher power, you know, I'm 100 pounder. I've lost almost half of my body weight, and I couldn't do it before, not for a long period of time. And finally, this last round of being obese, it lasted for a decade. And I would just tell myself, okay, tomorrow, and tomorrow would come. And I would just do the same behaviors until it turned into thousands of tomorrows. And there was nothing to help me. There was nothing to stop me. And I also figured that, you know, God, higher power, was so busy balancing all the cosmos and whatnot that certainly I could. Thank you so much. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Leah RF. Appreciate it. Next up is Peggy W., and then we'll be able to take another list.
Hi, Peggy W. here from Wisconsin. I absolutely love all the shares so far this morning. I do love this topic. I like this chapter. I start my morning every morning with 30 minutes or sometimes an hour with my higher power. I call my higher power God. I think I've always been a believer. I just kind of lost my way as a kid. Yeah, and I'm really thankful. I'm thankful to be back in the presence of my higher power. I'm just, I'm reading a book right now calling Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy. And I tell you, it's an amazing read, and it really puts everything into perspective, especially when it comes to higher power and abandoning yourself to letting go of all the crazies. I feel so much more at peace this morning with the whole accepting that I am a food addict, accepting that I am a compulsive overeater. Kind of just, I don't know, there's just a real peace with it this morning. Really don't have much more to add other than that. I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you for everybody's shares, and thanks for all the people that make this meeting happen. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Peggy. Appreciate it. All right, so obviously we're in We Agnostics. We're on page 47, the fourth paragraph, starting with, besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, ending with, we hope no one else be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. We could take about five to six more if we keep the time right. So who'd like to share?
Elaine F., New York.
Elaine.
Rachel G., New York.
Rachel.
Lynn Renee H. from Montreal.
And Renee.
Mara Z.
Colleen M.
Mara.
Patrick Colleen. O.
That's going to be it. Patrick O. So we got Elaine S., Rachel G., then Renee, Mara Z., Colleen M., and Patrick O. Well, hopefully we can get everybody in. Go ahead, Elaine.
Good morning, and thank you all for your service and the incredible shares. And just it's been just beautiful listening. And I'm Elaine S. From New York, currently visiting Toronto, including one of my OA sisters here, which has been just beautiful. And what I'm reminded with this reading is my own obstinacy over the years, not so much about God, but about knowing everything. I'm right. I know what's right. You have to do things my way, my control. And of course, underneath all of that is fear. And not looking at the benefits from accepting God, you know, is part of that many of us have. And I was an atheist in my 20s and going into my early 30s, came back to the religion of my family and believed in God. I didn't come to program till I was 66, and I'm 76 now. So for many years, I believed in God. I raised my daughter to believe in God. But I didn't have a concept of trusting God. I didn't. That's what I've gotten from working the steps. I've learned to trust God. I've learned that God is there for me. And as my recovery has grown, and it's grown hugely, I've changed so much, that trust keeps growing. And that is what, no matter what difficulties come up in my life, that trust brings me right back. I do a 10-step, brings me back to that bigger trust that, you know, we refer to as surrender. But to me, it's trust. It's knowing that God loves me, that God is going to show me the next right thing to do, whether it's how to deal with my aches and pains or my wild grandchildren. I have 5 that are under the age of 10 that I'm visiting here in Toronto, and I don't have experience with so many kids. I was an only child. My daughter was an only child. We had a lot of kids over, but it was not like raising 5 children, which is what my daughter is doing with her husband. So it's like I'm learning to trust God, to not take personally what the kids might be saying to me, because they will love me one minute, want me to, you know, push them on the swing, do this, and then be angry at me, you touched me, and how to deal with all of that with love and being able to just look at things with perspective. And just know that I have my own life. God will direct my life and how I can be useful to God. And I'm so grateful. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. Next up is Rachel G., followed by Lynn Renee H.
Hi, this is Rachel G. from New York. Thank you for everybody's feeds, shares, and running the meeting. I really love hearing, just being like handicapped with sensitiveness, unreasoning prejudice, being so touchy. I think something I really take is having like love and tolerance is our code, and I can have love, but tolerance is a really hard one, and having a little bit of like a stronger jacket going into things. And it's like, oh, I only have a little bit more of tough skin because I can go to God first with things. And, you know, it was just the beginning of the year where I was like in the end of a long, like a 5-year relapse or 4-year relapse. And, you know, I had periods of abstinence in between, whether it was like weeks or even a year, years in between that. And, but it was like, I believed in God, but just never took to acting on building the relationship with God. And like, okay, God exists, but it sort of just was like, okay, a school exists or something, but I'm not going to go study that topic or anything. And that's sort of what I felt like with God, where it was like, that doesn't apply. Like, God's focused on everybody else in the rooms, everybody else in the world. How could I even fathom a God that could give any focus to me or be able to, because, you know, he or God's so busy. And so I think, like, I was like, let me just act, you know, I used to think I was an atheist, and I was like, let me just act as if God exists. So I believe, then it's like, all right, I took that first step when I first came into program, like 12 years ago, 13 years ago, but then I never took action to build a relationship with God. And it's like, I needed to practice the spiritual fitness. So it's like, until I started, for me, it's like doing the actions of literally just actions, getting on my knees, going to pull over to pray, whether it's at a church or the sea or just sitting in my car after something. It's like, I probably am not going to be as focused and have that conscious contact at home because I'll get distracted, but it's like, just take that action, like take the action. And because, yeah, I'm so grateful that I had, like, I turned to God yesterday with like 10 steps, and I had to do a few of them. But it's not that, oh, this, it's like, oh, I used to invest, it wasn't the one binge, but then it was the slide of taking days and hours from my life that I was like, all right, like, let's just take the hour and a half to write these all out, because a lot of emotional things have been placed on my plate this past week, including, like, passing of a loved one. It's like, okay, I can show up with love and tolerance today. And so with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Rachel G. from New York. Next up is Lynn Renee H. from Montreal.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Lynn Renee. I'm overeater. And I love this subject because it was really hard for me to get to where I am today after 11 years in the program. I was too, like, it's a call, this God thing, what the hell? What is God has to do with losing weight? Like, what a weird equation. And I kind of got it at one point that I'm like, okay, let's try and do this thing. And I know I was eating by fear. I was like fearful of everything, especially people. And I was like, okay, where in all my life I felt the boy safe? And it was like, oh, the placenta. There I was really safe, right? Nothing was happening there. So I called it the placenta. And didn't last long because it was weird talking to a placenta. But anyways, just to let you know, that at one point, I was open enough and curious enough. I think the curiousness really is a big factor in my journey. And I went to another meeting, and there was a woman there, and she was so convinced about her God. It was almost like, I was like, oh man, she's into this. And I asked her, I called her up and said, what do you do? Like, what did you do to get to that? And she shared to me, and she's a Christian and I'm not a Christian, and she shared an application. And I decided it was a 5-minute thing every day. I'm like, okay, I can give 5 minutes to something, right? And just be open one. And it's the voice of the person that talked in the morning and that application that let me go there. And I still do it. Like, I don't know, it's been at least 5 years because it was in the pandemic. Anyways, and I get every day, like every single day I get gifts. Yesterday, I'm having a hard time because I'm going deep in my living. And yesterday, there's a woman from Vision for You who called me. Oh, Lynn, it's Mary. I heard you this morning. I'm so happy you picked up. It's not going well. I've not been on this meeting for a year. So I don't know how she thought she had heard me, but she called me. And for that, I am so grateful because she was having a hard time. She didn't know I was having a hard time. It's been 2 weeks. And the mix matching of experiences for me is the gift of God, a higher power, an imaginary friend that takes care of me, an energy, life, call it whatever you want. It works. It really, 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 really does work. And for that, I'm grateful. And I will call.
Thanks, Lynn Renee. Appreciate it. Next up is Mara Z, followed by Colleen M. I think, Patrick, we might be cutting it. So, cutting it tight. Actually, wait, let me think of this. If Mara goes, the last two, Colleen and Patrick, let's see where we're at. Let's see where we're at. All right. Go ahead, Mara. Star one, Mara.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate that. I was talking away. The shares have been amazing this morning, and I so appreciate them. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Beat me into a state of reasonableness. Because I was so hard-headed. I believed in God. I didn't have an issue with that. I just didn't believe that he was going to be interested in what the heck I was putting in my mouth. He had other bigger things to deal with. And I also had a big portion of me that said, you're not worth it. And that was hard to overcome. But these steps, especially steps 2 and 3, they opened my mind. They said, you know what? You have value because you are a human being. That was hard for me. I still have bouts of doubt about my worth. But I've come to realize that he has been in my life. He has done for me things that I could never have done by myself. I think it's 9 or 10 months of abstinence after a 2-year relapse that just brought me to my freaking knees. I never thought I was going to get abstinent again. I prayed and I never thought it was going to happen. But he came into my life. He showed me what life is like. He reminded me of what life was like as an abstinent, recovered woman. And I'm so grateful to have that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Mara. So we got 2 minutes, Colleen, if that works for you. Pat, I'm sorry. If you could stick around for the next meeting, that would be great.
Hey, Russ, thank you. This is Colleen M., grateful recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. And, gosh, I'm not going to say anything that hasn't already been said. Beautiful shares, but I wanted to focus on found ourselves handicapped by obstinance, sensitivity, and unreasonable prejudices. And that's exactly what I found, the predicament I found myself in when I got back here after a 10-year relapse. I choose to believe that my disease stole my spiritual sanity as well as my emotional development, and physically it wrecked me. But I had to be willing, and I always as well believed in a God, but I did not trust this higher power of mine. And I had to thank God walking through the steps with a recovered person. I had to really look at these unreasonable prejudices I had about this, you know, power, this thinking that was destroying me. And I had to be willing to find a way to change that thinking, or at least be open enough to realize there might be another answer, you know. And my self-sufficiency and my selfishness and my ego did not want to let any of those things go. You know, I needed someone to blame, and God was a good person for that. And how could the world be the way it is? And, you know, on and on and on, all of the list of things that, you know, I blame God for. But it did not help me, and it did not help me get well until I was ready to lay down some of these prejudices and choose to believe that maybe God was loving, maybe He did care about me. That opened the door to be me being able to have a relationship with a power that today I value so much. And you know, just stick around and keep working on it. Thank you for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks, Colleen. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please stick around for another unrecorded hour of study. Sorry about that, Pat. And let me give you excuse me. All right. I just got distracted. I'm very sorry. Oh, the share ID. That's what it was. Share ID for today, Friday, June 26, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. 23,583. 23583. And if so, we're having a little issue with Tina getting unmuted. So, Mara Z, are you able to read page 164 for us today, if we give you a chance to grab it?
Yes, sir, I am.
Awesome.
It would be my honor to do so.
You got it. Don't worry about it, Tina. Mara got you.
I just got it, but okay. Hi, I'm Tina Kalsbeater, anorexic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.